I began my Easter homily at about this hour, actually, by saying that we are all here because all four Gospels have empty tomb stories. And I said that these stories of the empty tomb don't narrate the resurrection, nor do these stories of the empty tomb describe it. And remember, the Gospels do not explain the resurrection because it cannot be explained. Instead, remember, the resurrection of Jesus is what explains the Gospels. But on Easter, we heard empty tomb stories. And there can be many reasons why we have an empty tomb. One reason could be the body was stolen. So that Easter Sunday morning was a morning without a lot of answers. Remember, Easter Sunday morning was very confusing. And our Lord knew that. So he began his appearances in his resurrected body. St. Paul told us that he appeared to 5,000 at one time. These are my favorite stories of the Bible. And it's the resurrection appearances that brought us here today. Remember, on Good Friday, everything ended. The disciples went back fishing. It was over. But when our Lord began to appear, the church reformed, bringing the church here today, and you're the believers of that. Now, when Jesus appears, there's a common thread. First, Jesus looks different. Initially, he's unrecognizable. Remember the story. Mary Magdalene thought he was a gardener, right? The disciples on the road to Emmaus thought he was a lonely traveler, a lonely, tired traveler. When the disciples were fishing, they thought he was just a man walking on the shore, like a beachcomber. And in today's gospel, they think he's a ghost. So what we have now is evidence of the nature of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. This is a topic I've been fascinated with. Father Robert Spitzer has read, and he has written a lot on this topic. He spoke about how the resurrection would have come from inside our Lord's body in a type of a vacuum radiation. Remember, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a restoration to life. Remember when our Lord raised Lazarus, his dead friend. Lazarus was dead. Jesus raised him from the dead. Lazarus walked out. He looked like Lazarus. And Lazarus, remember, wore all of his bandages, right? He came out looking like a mummy because Lazarus would die again. He would need them again. Our Lord left his wrappings because he would never die again. So the resurrection of Jesus is not just a restoration to life. It's like a quantum leap forward in life that we should take interest in. His body doesn't seem to be subject to the laws of physics, time and space. The resurrected body of Jesus can just appear when he wants to appear. But yet, it does appear to be bound by time and space because you can touch it. You can put your hand in the wounds and he can eat fish. Now, when Jesus appears, In this mysterious resurrected body, two things happen, and I put them up there for you to see. The first thing that happens is Jesus says, "Shalom, peace be with you." Now, imagine being a witness to this, and you had just abandoned Jesus. You had just betrayed him and left him for dead. And now Jesus comes back, not wanting revenge. We want revenge. Jesus wishes them peace. They must be thinking, we just killed God, and God still loves us. This is their first experience of the love of God. When we talk about God's love, this is it. We just killed God, and he loves us. We've just denied we ever knew him. We've been trying to separate ourselves from him, but he keeps coming back, returning. We've done these things to him, and he still wishes us peace. Peace is that serenity you feel in your heart when you have a relationship with God. That's how you feel when you leave here, that gift of peace. The second thing that always happens to the shocked witnesses, Jesus shows them his wounds. In today's gospel, he said, "Look at my hands and my feet." Bishop Barron says, it's almost as if Jesus is stubborn. He stubbornly always shows his wounds to say, "Look what you did to me. Look what I accepted for you." And do you notice Jesus identifies himself with his wounds? Jesus must carry his wounds for all eternity because he is the Savior. By his wounds we are healed. So I want to leave you with two thoughts that these resurrection appearances give us. Think about these two thoughts this week. First, what assurance do you have of the resurrection of your body, like the resurrection of Jesus? What assurance do you have? In heaven, after the general resurrection, we will have our human bodies. When we die, we don't turn into angels or ghosts. Our Lord didn't, and neither will we. At the resurrection, we won't lose our humanness. It will be perfected. When we see our Lord, we will see our Lord with our own eyes, like the disciples did with their eyes. But we still cannot fully comprehend what this would be like. We don't know what kind of body we will have. We cannot comprehend it any more than an unborn baby can comprehend what life would be like outside of the womb. But we have hints in what Jesus looked like and did. And we have assurances. One could say we have an infallible guarantee. Jesus said, "If you live with me, you will rise with me," right? Think about that. Second thing that I want you to think about, and I mentioned this in a daily homily a while ago, these resurrection appearance stories tell us a beautiful truth about life. And the truth is this: when we think we're at an end, it is often a new beginning. Think of the end the disciples were in on Good Friday. But soon it became a new beginning when they saw him alive. Think of the crosses you've carried that have turned into blessings by God's will. Think of what you thought was a failure. Think of how the disciples thought they failed, which, as they were patient as life unfolds, it became a success. That's another lesson of these appearance stories. And so, as we turn to the Eucharist, let's be reminded that by the grace of God, when we see our Lord, he will say to us as well, "Peace to you, and look at my wounds." And our response can be as simple as the response of St. Thomas last week. Our response can be as simple as, "My Lord and my God." Amen.